Blog Talk Radio.
I like it. I mean, I'll give you a nickel. I'll give you a nickel. I'll give you a love offering. Can you go get a fucking? I'll send you a love offering for it. But she gonna need it because she's the lady. We're gonna put her in the center. And you know, I ain't getting me.
Especially when she's right in front of me. You know, you're gonna go.
But that just freed up a lot of our time. I mean, that just gave us a really good amount of time. I mean, because I had already had her scheduled before, and I was like, because I've been trying to encourage entrepreneurship with life, and that the they need to own their own home and buy their own property and all of that. And there's some recent programs that just came out, believe it or not, even in the midst of this, that will allow blacks to purchase, I mean, minorities to purchase homes with low beacon scores. So I do want to get that information out and empowerment. And so we're going to do a whole. Hello? Edison Watson. I'm going to keep talking. Hello? I'm going to keep talking. We keep talking. And God said, keep talking. And we keep talking. And God said, keep talking. He said, keep talking. So I'm going to keep talking because the man of God said, keep talking. I'm finding a way to keep talking. So the man of God said, keep talking.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you want thermals too? Thermals meaning your
yeah, my little stuff.
Which is what?
Huh?
Which is what?
I don't know what it is. I mean, it's got. Oh, you gonna go with that shit?
You said what?
Which is supporter. Those are all those promos. Supporter. There's a gang of them that you always do.
So same one.
Yeah, same one. Nothing
new.
You're not doing the new ones you just did.
Yep, yeah, he's doing the one that we just did. Yeah, he's doing that. I think it's beautiful. We do now. What do we use?
To proclaim.
Okay. Just built a new computer. i7 processor, 24 gigs of RAM. Yeah, mostly 8. We're doing 24. And solid state drive, 2 terabytes, the latest graphic cards. We just kind of over pimped it out in terms of the things that it is to the sun. Yeah, we don't need it now, but we will need it soon. And so I tell them that we build for where we're going and not for where we're at. It's there. Okay. So we're almost ready.
We're
ready.
We already have the mic.
Yeah. Let's get y'all mic'd up. Because we're counting now with a minute and something. Let me know. My iPad, can I grab it? Well, I don't really need it. I'm doing it. No, not that way. Going to be crossing over. I won't be crossing over now, so I won't interrupt the show. So that's gone now. Because Miss Holmes is not here anymore. Okay? I'm just going to run it through. Okay?
Content disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in the media or comments on this show are those of the speaker or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by our ministry. All material is gathered from other sources, and we only comment on publication and previous social formatted information. Due to the social nature of this information, it may contain content copyrighted by another entity or person. Keeper Look claims no copyright to said content. The Keeper Look can't be held accountable for the copyrighted content. The Keeper Look is a messenger and sharer of information and strives to verify but cannot warrant the accuracy of copyright or completeness of the information on this format. If you have a complaint about something or find your content is being used incorrectly, please contact the Keeper Look prior to making a copyright claim. Any infringement was not done on purpose and will be rectified to all parties' satisfaction.
Keeper Look family. We would like you to like us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Keeper Look Show or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Keeper Look Show. You can get alerts when we go live. Save this number to call in and voice your opinion. Be our co-host call-in guest, 516 580-590-0135.
Dr. Jackson would like you to support the Negro-Look family financially. You can check it through various methods. Cash App, Cash Canning, Deeper Chef, Venmo, Deeper Chef, Zelle, DeeperLook2020@gmail.com. Or you can mail your contributions to DeeperLook Show, care of HC Multicultural Center, 6651 Crestline Drive, Jacksonville, Georgia,
3221.
We take your story seriously. Do you have an issue that you're going to have to deal with? Are you actually there? Do you have information that needs to be accepted prior to the harming of people? Contact us today. We do not write stories or use this platform to hurt them, but we want to write books on the store. Email us today at deeperlook2020@gmail.com.
Are you interested in getting your product or event out to the world? Consider advertising with us. Send us an email at deeperlook2020@gmail.com. Ask our team about how letting us help you get your message out to the world. Or call 904-878-4080.
God bless. We're so excited. I'm Bishop Jackson, and I am tremendously excited to have the man and the woman of God here with us. Listen to me. This woman of God pricked something in my spirit this morning, talking about some church hurt and things that go on. And we're going to deal with some things tonight. I think it's going to be amazing. I got you. It's going to be an amazing format to deal with. And I think a lot's going to be discussed tonight that's going to be life-changing. So if you know someone that's dealing with church hurt and been through church hurt, dealt with some drama in the church, dealt with the mess that goes along with people in the church, then I want you to be a part of that, because there is life after the pain. And we're going to talk about it. We've got the Eels with us today, and I believe that they are a tremendous example of surviving. And so we're excited. We're going to be back in just a few moments, and we're going to talk with them. And we're going to deal with some real issues, and we're going to dive down in those issues. And hopefully some people can become healed because of what God is doing. And there are hundreds of people that are watching us right now, and we're excited that they are out watching us tonight. But what's most important is I believe that some people's lives are going to be transformed and radically changed by the power of God tonight. So we're excited. All right. So we're getting ready to cut through this small promo, and we'll be right back. That's a good question. I don't know. Camera 8.
Main camera. I didn't know where to look at. I was looking all around. I was like,
yeah, we should
Dr. Jackson, we'd love you to support
the Wait, can we see just the offer by email?
Sure. In various methods. Yes. Cash App, Cash Pay, Deeper Chef, Venmo, Deeper Chef. Well, people listen to one of them this morning. I don't know if you have a call from them.
We have a charity function.
So, Deeper Chef, care of HC Multicultural Center, 6651 Crestline Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. The Prince PG.
So we're back, and I'm excited that we're definitely back and with you all. Listen to me. Let's just break it open. We this morning, I got a chance to hear Pastor Leal. I got a chance to hear you talking, unloading your heart. And all day long, I've been talking with people, and I've been getting inbox messages about church hurt. I mean, I even got someone to tell me that the man of God, I experienced church hurt. She told me, she said, I end up leaving your church. And I was like, wow. And she said it wasn't the members or anything. She said she went through a separation. And when she went through a separation, she ended up leaving that church. Because I think she assumed that we would. We didn't. That's not how we roll. But people have gone through transition in so many different facets of their life. And, you know, one of the things that Touchman was hearing you tell your man of God a story, your husband. And what, first of all, before we even get into this story, what birthed you to this to be there? What was, what led up to that?
Well, we have a broadcast that we do together, called The Queen.
Okay.
And when we got off the broadcast of The Queen, God began to speak to me about the broadcast that I was doing, that we watched this morning, which is called The Breakthrough Before the Break of Dawn. And this week's series is called Generational Coaching. You know, I'm a generational church breaker. And so God began to deal with me about church hurt, and how sometimes we are still hurt because of the things that happened either from our moms and our grandmothers. And God reminded me of the situation with my husband, and how his family dealt with church hurt, and that sent him on a downward spiral.
Well, man, you tell us what happened. What sent, I mean, you're the preacher, then I'm a bearer, then work through the ministry, have been a part of great ministry. You know, you're not new to this, you're true to this. You've had an exposure ministry. And so, by own token, if we whitewash your history, your church work. But you went down a dark pathway.
A very dark pathway.
And from what I understand, an experience of pain in church led to that. So talk to us. Tell us a little bit about what happened with you.
So I was saved at a very young age, 7 years old. I knew who God was. I understood the gospel message because, you know, the truth about the gospel being simply profound and profoundly simple. So I accepted Christ as my Savior at a young age. Around about 12 years old, I came home after a church service, and I witnessed my mother just crying her heart out. I'm the baby out of 8 children. I was the apple of my mother's eye, and she was the apple of mine. I had never experienced my mother crying before, ever. And to see that, I just wanted to know what caused this pain. She wouldn't tell me. I ran to each of my other 7 siblings. What's going on? What happened? Why is mother crying? Finally, I got the answer. And the answer was that during the church service, the particular ministry that we were a part of at that time, the pastor at that time took it upon themselves to basically berate my mother from the pulpit. And in doing so, basically my entire family. And it crushed my mother to such a place and a point to where when I saw that, I said, this is who God is. This is what being in church and being about Christ is all about. I want absolutely nothing to do.
Now, we're going to be very respectful. I'm going to leave off names and stuff, never to bring reproach upon the body of Christ. But that's not what we're about elevation and not condemnation. But let's just deal with it. That church, y'all were pillars in the inception of that church.
Absolutely.
I mean, so the fact that church kind of had services in your home growing up, am I correct?
Well, the children's church would definitely meet if due to overcrowdedness or maybe there was something wrong with the restrooms at the house that was the original church was at. So our church was, our home was kind of a pseudo or second church.
And the place where people hung out,
yeah,
in between services.
So
back in the old days, we had church long. And then we ate and fellowship and then came back that evening, and we churched Sunday morning, Sunday night. We had Sunday school that morning, Sunday afternoon, then training after church, and then after eating something, eating back again, and all of that kind of wonderful stuff. So your mother was berated in front of the church. Was she even in service? Do you know?
She was there.
And she sat there like a champ, like they taught them in Old Fashioned Holiness.
Right.
Just shut up and take it like a good saint.
Take it on the chin.
But imagine being faithful and serving and working and being a part of the inception of ministry and being a part of it. It's almost not like that you think that you're the church elite, but you almost think that your tenure would be respected enough that if there was a problem, leadership would pull you to the side and not use the pulpit as a tool or sword to cut down. Now, that's happened to a lot of people, that leaders struggle with
direct me, being able to talk to people and share with them the issues they have, and they use the pulpit as a tool, like a weapon to scar people. I mean, there are tons of people that I know their story, that they got hurt because Reb said their name, or if he didn't say, said enough about them that it was obviously them that they were talking about. And so as a result of that, it sent you down a downward spiral. So you walked away from God?
I totally avoided everything that reminded me of God, that reminded me of God's people. As a matter of fact, that very day that it happened, I went to what was then my best friend's house, whose uncle was a drug dealer and a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
pimp's house.
Okay.
And
from the church to the pimp house. Okay.
He showed me some things that day. He gave me my first 20-cent rock. And he told me to go stand on the corner and somebody will come in a little while and give me some money. And I sat out there maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And like he said, so a car drove up. They took the rock. I got 20 bucks. And I was so excited. I ran back to that gentleman and I gave him the money. And he said, well, you can either keep it. Well, I'll give you two for that 20 because they'll be back in a few minutes. And long story short, that day.
Taught me how to flip your money.
Taught me how to flip it. Long story short, that day, I think I made about $600 in the street. It was totally ingrained in me from that day forward. I found loyalty, I found respect, and absolutely, I found the almighty dollar right there, all in that same instance. So I became a slave to what I was just after exposed to, just like that.
Now, prior to that, you thought that there was a calling on your life.
Absolutely. I got saved at 7. I was leading folks to Christ by the time I was 10 or 11, grown people. The ministry that we came out of was a heavy teaching ministry. They really believed in evangelism and going forth and spreading the gospel. So everyone had to be involved in that. It encouraged that. So it was ingrained in us from the very beginning.
So you went, let me get this right. You went from being the preacher boy to the dope boy.
Just like that.
To her.
To her.
What would your dope incarnate be?
Well, I was always pretty studious, so I was able to kind of maintain and mask the fact that I'm doing wrong because my grades were never affected by it. I was a really good athlete, so I was always one of the top athletes in school throughout the city of Jacksonville. I still hold some track records and probably middle school or something like that. But I'm 45 years old. So that was, you know, something that I was pretty good at. But it caused me to reject everything positive. But I learned how to mask. Because remember, you know, one thing in the body of Christ, we learn how to really hide who we really are sometimes. And so because it never really affected who I was as a person, the guys in the streets or that hung out with me, they knew what I was doing, but I still showed up to school every day.
Now, did you know him in this? Did you know him at this thing?
I knew him about seventh grade. So, what
grade?
It was in high school, so yeah.
Seventh grade, that was about 14, so yeah.
Wow. So, this, so you end up in prison.
Absolutely. At 19, well, at around 18, 17, 18 years old, me and another group of guys decided that we wanted to be millionaires. And so, we came up with, where's all the money at? The money's in banks, right? So we decided and devised a plan that we were going to rob a bank.
Rob a bank.
Rob a bank.
Okay.
We were successful at robbing a bank. We got away. And with the proceeds and funds, with the proceeds and funds that we gained from robbing the bank, we then went and bought cars and drugs and jewelry and all of the things. So we basically stepped up into the game to another level because we didn't have the finances to go from buying ounces to cubes.
Wow. And that would lead you to get caught eventually?
I was caught and I
then spent the next over a decade in federal prison. That's kind of the Reader's Digest version of how everything happened. It's a little more context.
So you spent that. Now, what happened in prison? You got your education in prison?
I did. I got a degree in marketing and management, and I also got a degree in architecture draft while in prison. At that time in federal prison, they encouraged the rehabilitation process of every individual. There was a Brady Bill that came out about 95, 96.
Did you have student loans?
No.
So I was still back with my PhD.
And that was the problem.
I'm still back with my PhD and my MBA. I'm still back. Okay. So you so you're back in the church now. I mean, you're obviously a pastor. What happened? What brought you, I mean, how did you deal with the berating, the hurt, the pain? Apparently, you acted out. And I think that happens so often when people have been hurt in church. You know, I use the term church hurt, but the church really doesn't hurt people. People in the church really do the damaging. And it's because I think we come to the church with an expectation that this is, that we are different.
Right.
And I'm a clinical psychologist, and one of the things that happened is that we believe that church people are not people, that they are superhuman, because we over-spiritualize the characters in the scripture. I mean, we see Paul with his strength, but we don't see him in his weak. We see Peter in his strength, but we got to remember that the same man is called man's ER. We don't see the depravity of him, we see the glory of him. And because we over glorify by biblical characters, so do we do that to spiritual characters. Now, many of them get on their soapbox with an expectation of us seeing them that way as well. And I oftentimes say, when you set yourself up to be king, lord, and leader, when you make mistakes, you will suffer the consequences in the vantage point of people, because you decided to view yourself as king, lord, and leader. So that's the danger of being that way. So you experience that way, but some kind of way, you made it back to the church. What brought you back to the church?
That is a beautiful. I hope that the audience watching is engaged. So I came home after all of that time, and you have assumed that I had learned my lesson. The truth was, within less than 24 hours of being out after all of that time, I was right back into the game. Right out, less than 24 hours.
No. So you went back to slinging and dope after getting out of federal prison?
I was in a federal hospital when I made my first move. And it's, you know, to the people that are watching and familiar with not only my story, but the story of so many others. So many of these things are trappings and tricks to ensnare each and every one of us. So you would have thought that I had learned my lesson. I mean, you know, after all of that time, but the truth is I've learned that people cannot change without Jesus. You can rectify some behavior. You can modify behavior, but true change only happens once you really come in contact with who Jesus Christ is and allow him to make that change. So what happened was, I got back into the game. I was once again successful. And I was laying up one night, getting high, snorting cocaine.
So wait a minute. Now, so you started using?
I started using once I got out this time, because I was good at this point in time. Now I'm connected into wild parties and partying, because I was a man that was on the shelf for over a decade. So now that I'm able to be free, can you imagine what kind of party I was trying to throw myself, right? And so I became the party. And the night that Christ called me, there was a couple of women in my bedroom with myself, and we were getting high and doing things that we probably can't talk about on this show. And if you know anything about doing drugs or cocaine, you can't sleep as long as you're on it. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was like, that's enough. Let's just shut this thing down. I'm tired. And And so we go to bed. Around 7 o'clock in the morning, I hear a voice say, Joel, get up and go to church. I jump to my feet. I'm as sober as I am right now. And I'm looking around trying to find a man in my room because I know I'm the only man here, but I know it's the voice of God that's calling me. It's a sobering call. If you've ever heard the audible voice of God, it's so sobering and so capturing that I didn't even have time to take a shower. I had one suit in my closet. I began to get dressed and get ready. And one of the young ladies was like, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. And she was like, well, can I go? And I said, I don't care. I just know I got to go. On the way to church, back in that day, 101.5 used to play gospel on Sundays. You remember that? And there was a song that came on that said, I never would have made it without you. And I began to cry like I've never cried before. I could feel the love and the ever presence of God all over me. I knew that I was addicted to sex, that I was addicted to drugs, and I was addicted to hustling, but I knew that I could never be the same. I hadn't been on an altar. I hadn't been in the presence of a preacher. It was simply the voice of God calling me back. And it was something that when he calls you, you just, some people say you can deny it or you can refuse it, but in that moment in time, I had no choice but to answer.
So you hear the voice of God. It tells you to get up, go to church. You go to church.
What happened?
You go to the same church that you got hurt at?
No.
Okay.
By this time, my mother has changed churches. I call her on the phone, and when I get the call from God to get up and go to church, in between me getting dressed and leaving, I call my mom and I said, Mom, what church do you go to? Because I'm coming. She was obviously uber excited. And so I found what church she was at, and she was sitting where she said she would be sitting at, and I sat there and just, I wept the entire time. I couldn't wait for the altar call because in my mind I felt like it had to be that before I actually crossed over to what God was actually going to, or wanting to do inside of me. So I was on the edge of my seat just crying. The service like, when are they going to get to the altar call? I'm already there.
Except Christ. Do you deal with the hurt still? Or was it, did it wear off?
For me, because I understand the level of what forgiveness is truly all about, I went to the individual. I didn't expect an apology. I didn't expect a reason. I simply needed to go into so that I could release them.
How did they receive it?
They received it. I don't know if they perceived what I was really saying, but they received it because it was done in love and it was done out of respect.
You know, something that we talked about prior, and I'm going to say this. It's kind of really a difficult thing to admit, but I believe that there is a lot of mental illness that is masquerading in religiosity. Everything we call a demon, and then there are people that they call spiritual, they call prophetic, and they really hear more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a little disclaimer. Our church is full of prophetic ministry, apostolic teaching. I mean, I believe in that aspect. So I'm not going off from a prophetic ministry. So none of you prophets don't send me no messages and all of that. You're not going to school no more because I'm anti-prophetic. I'm not. But many of them are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that it takes a level of lucidness and, you know, got to be a little lucid to listen to the voice of God and of faith for him to tell you to do things. I believe it takes that. You got to step outside of yourself. But some of them have severe mental illnesses. And when those narcissistic people leave God's people with narcissism and all kinds of issues and pain, paranoid schizophrenia, bipolar condition, all of these kind of issues unintentionally, and I do mean unintentionally because they're sick, they're able to masquerade in religiosity, and they actually hurt people. People's lives are wounded. And I think that we have to learn how to be able to identify traits of leaders now as leaders that are suffering from mental illness, that they claim it. I mean, like words, that they are they're off their rocker. And the church is the only place where you can be shout out and celebrated in your shout out if you are a leader. It's called telling the truth. Telling it, there was a once a time in the church, and still is, that dogging you out is celebrated. That open rebuke is better than secret love. It's better I tell you and get it out than me hold it back. It was actually a sign that I actually love you as a leader when I ruin your entire life with stuff. So my question to you all tonight is, how do you start again? You sat down and you addressed that individual. Now, they received you warmly?
Well, it was actually in an open forum. It was actually out of celebration for that individual. And so God had laid upon my heart that you need
okay,
to
well,
show
okay, 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 okay. So, let me get it. So they have them at celebration. What you say?
No, I simply got up and I said, regardless of what people may say or think, because of this place, I am who I am. Regardless of the hurt, regardless of what happened, I understand how all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so that was kind of my address, where I was saying, I'm here to say thank you. I'm here to say thank you, because without Judas, there would be no Jesus.
I think that worked. You because of where you were at.
Exactly. I was in a different place.
Because me, I need to confront. I mean, I need to say, wait a minute, what you did to our family was sick.
Right.
And so I think, what do we tell that person that is confronting something? And because you had a situation.
I did.
You had a situation.
I had a situation where a young lady was upset about something that she said happened that did not happen, but her feelings were hurt. There was an event that our ministry was having, and some of the people in the back were saying something, and I just walked in on the issue, and I was saying, what's taking place? They didn't want to talk to me, and I said, okay.
But she heard your voice.
She heard my voice. And she went from there to tell a spiritual leader of mine what happened, and that person came down from Atlanta to see about me, but more so to see about the situation. And in dealing with the situation, she asked me not to say anything. And when I allowed the young lady to talk, I realized that she realized that I didn't say anything, but she had a real issue of her, and that issue needed to be dealt with. So I allowed her the opportunity to say what she wanted to say. I did not say anything until the leader said, you can speak. And then I told her what I felt my truth was. And at the end, we had to agree to disagree. It was going on in circles. But at the end, she said, you know, I understood how you felt. I understood how she felt. And I think sometimes individuals just want their voices heard.
So you think, by and large, she needed to just be able to unload.
She's a vent.
So what many times leaders don't give that place for people to vent. I mean, I'm going to be very transparent. As a pastor, I'm very insulated. I mean, I got my own barber in here to come in, cut my hair. I don't get out of much. I mean, you know, one of my homes is the gated community, so I revert back to the gated community. And I don't take salary fast, so before you all start saying that, the Lord supplies all my needs, I'm taking salary with compassion for over 10 years, and I'm not got my gated community and motivated and all that stuff. It's because I work hard. I ain't from the church, I don't take a check from them, so don't send me no letters about that, all right? So at the end of the day, my life is very insulated, and as a result of being insulated, there are many times interactions from leaders that many people never get a chance to interact with leaders. So they don't know what to, you know, a lot of times leaders never know. So their staff meets these people, and they train their staff to deflect situations. So what would you say a pastor's policies should be in dealing with this? What have you learned? Thank God you have that spiritual leader that would say, hey, you know what, we just need to squash this, deal with this, and confront this. What would you say, how do we deal with that?
I believe in policy and procedures for every ministry, but I do also believe that there should be a time where Even if you have the policy set in place that you can take some appointments for cases that your leadership cannot handle to afford individuals an opportunity to speak with you, sometimes things arise above that, your policies and procedures. But I'm thankful at this time we're growing. We're just 5 years old.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
A great minister, 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big place to have grown and ministered. You've dealt with enough mess, and you're still dealing with mess, and you're still have y'all secured a permanent facility? That's the one, the hard part.
That is our next to do. We're grateful and thankful to be able to co-op and to share a building with another wonderful ministry. And the beautiful part of it is two sanctuaries in one location. So we can have our service in ours, on our side, and they can have theirs on their side, and it's no interruption going on at the same time.
So yeah, we do that for start. We do that for a couple minutes if you want to. We have more than one recording, and we kind of do that here as well. But so that's the growing part in the development. So I want to kind of talk to you. I didn't realize when I started, and I got some people that want to chime in tonight, but I didn't realize I was a victim of church hurt. My pastor hurt me so bad that I didn't want to do ministry any longer. And I heard that clarion voice of God that said, no, you can't do that. And I went ahead, but I wanted to prove a point that God legitimately called me, and I'm going to show you. but I will say this to you, that if I did not get hurt, when ministry got rough, I would have ran out of it. I would have ran back to that church a million and one times. Because it's rough out here. It's rough out here for a new pastor trying to start a work. And it was extremely difficult, but I was able to deal with it. So, there are people that I've been talking to that have dealt with things like relationships with the pastor, put out of the church as a result of them being the partner. The pastor calling them crazy, that they were chasing after them, didn't have anything to do with it. I've dealt with stories of the pastor taking money, them loaning their money to the church never paying them back, and viewing them as a heretic as a result of that. I've dealt with situations where the pastor's children were involved. The pastor's daughter came on to the young man, but when the story went down, the daughter was celebrated, he was demonized and ran out of the church. Today I've dealt with on a sundry of stories that would just make your toes like, does this stuff happen in church ministers? Leaders that have served under pastors and helped them build a church, and they said, well, pastor, we're going to plant you in a church, and then his son comes along and he makes his son the pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things, just areas of hurt. What do you tell people that deal with stuff like this?
Well, the main thing I think we must understand is, as a mature Christian, is that hurt people hurt people. Most of the time, people that tear apart people's lives and families, misuse and mishandle people, it has been done to them so much that they just truly don't know how to do right by people. So that's not to give them a pass, because the Word of God checks us against all of that. So as leaders go, we have to simply be there. But as laity or someone that's not a leadership role, I would say just realize that those are people as well, human beings that go through the same ups and downs, the ebbs and flows as everyone else. They simply have a call that they answer. That doesn't give us the right to sleep with our spiritual sons and daughters. That's not okay. It doesn't give us the right to mishandle or misuse or abuse anybody. We know what the Word of God says about that. It's better that we be thrown into a sea, other than to mishandle a little one, which could easily mean just somebody immature in the gospel. So with all that being said, I would just say that don't walk away from God. Don't allow what man did to disqualify who God is. As an immature Christian at 12 years old, my pastor was Jesus. I thought that when that person went to sleep, Jesus slept next to them. When they woke up, they had been sleeping with Jesus, and that's how you view the leaders when you're immature. So I think as leaders, we need to recognize how we're viewed. One, we're in a very powerful position that's honored and respected for the most part. But as laity, I think we should understand that if that person hurts you, if you get an opportunity to confront it, maybe you can. If you don't get closure, you have to be okay with that and trust God for the healing or your deliverance. And there's so many wonderful ministries like yours and ours that can help mend these broken places. You know, every place isn't bad. Every pastor don't want your wife, and so all of the misnomers that are out there, these are just things that people experience. But it's not all bad. We're not all one thing. You know, there are some of us that truly love God and want to do the work in the will of God.
Oh, no,
I'm not. Okay. Ultimately, the church, the miracle of salvation, is that God uses imperfect vessels to render a perfect work.
Amen.
So let me give a disclaimer. You're right. The church is not perfect. The church is not perfect. We've got some mistakes, but God is working on it. We got a caller in. Were you going to say something?
I was not.
Well, she leaned out. Let me take a seat. She get ready. And she said, no, I wasn't. Sister Campbell's on the line. They tell me. Sister Campbell?
You guys, everybody staying safe.
Good
evening. Good evening. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is such a wonderful message, a much-needed message. And I did experience church hurt on more than one occasion. And the biggest thing that helped me overcome it is that I realized that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and wickedness in high places. And a lot of times, people are not even aware that they're being used by the enemy. You know, you got to get your mind, you got to get your sight off people and get your sight on God, you know. And that's why even when Jesus was on his assignment, he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because at the time, Peter was even being used by Satan. And sometimes people are not aware. So, like the gentleman said, hurt people, but sometimes the enemy can use people, and he uses those devices, because his job is to kill, to kill and to destroy. He wants to separate you from the body of Christ. He wants to cause dissensions within the body of Christ. So you got to get your mind and your heart off of people, and you got to get your mind on God. And that's what helped me overcome my church hurt.
Well, how did you get your mind off people when you go to church and people are there?
What I did was when I was hurt in a situation where he's not my husband anymore, I'm now remarried. He actually was dating the daughter of the bishop at the church. It was a bishop, which was the wife. The bishop was the husband, and the wife was the pastor. And when I tell you it was a hot mess. And how I did it, Bishop, was I just prayed. I asked God to help me to see past what I was going through and to just get my mind on him, because at the end of the day, God saved me. Man didn't save me. I had to get my mind on God alone, and I had to pray. I had to pray my way through.
Let me go back. Your married husband was dating somebody in the pastor's family?
Wow. Yes, sir.
What did the pastor say?
Yes,
about?
Sir. And he divorced me. Yes. And married her. It was the bishop was the wife. And but that's another thing. People be giving themselves these titles, and God don't have nothing to do with it. But he had called himself a bishop, which was the husband, and the wife was the pastor. It was a hot mess. Yes. And my husband at the time set me down and told me that God told him that this woman at the time was a pastor's daughter, was his wife, and he was going. I said, wait a minute. I said, first of all, God is a God of order. Why would God tell you to divorce me? We married now. Divorce me. And I said, you already know. But he got so deceived, Bishop, and so caught up in it. Yes, he married her. He divorced me. Now, you're talking about church hurt. Yes, I went through this and married her. Of course, the marriage didn't last very long. They stayed married for maybe a month. If they stayed married that long, that's a whole nother topic. But, yes, that happened to me.
Well,
So that's real church hurt.
So did you stay in that church? Did you leave that church?
No. No, sir. No, sir. Now, while I was still, because I think the divorce, the process, it was about 90 days. Because he divorced me. And while I was there, and it couldn't have been nobody but God himself. God was like, well, I want you to remain faithful. I want you to remain honorable. I said, Lord, why? And I was on this assignment. I had to stand. This man, my husband at the time, he would give up because they had testimonial service. They would have testimonial service and before they went into worship. He would give up and say, I want to give honor to my wife. He would point to this woman. I'm still legally his wife. This was God. I'm still legally his wife. He would point to this woman and say, I want to give honor to my wife, and I'm standing there. Yes. So the whole process was about 90 days. The divorce was over there. Of course, God sent me to my church that I was supposed to be in the first place, and I'm now there rooted and grounded where God meant for me to be in the first place. But I stayed through until the divorce was final, and then God moved me to where I was supposed to be.
So tell me, how did you deal with it? I'm trying to figure out, if my wife comes telling me that somebody's coming up with me, I'm just being honest with you. I'm saying, Holy Ghost still, I've been in this thing for over 40-some years. Just look at it. No, I've been in this thing for 40-some years. But I ain't got no Jesus still. I'm not sure I'm going to stand and let her testify. This ain't God for me being my husband. You
were
the real thing, girl. You got the...
Listen, Bishop, how I did with you, sir, to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. Sir, listen to me. To God be all the glory. I cannot take none. I'm shortening the story for time, but it's a lot more to happen, you know, of course, throughout it. But how I deal with it, sir, this is how I know that God is real. Because I prayed enough, and it was nobody but the Holy Ghost himself constrained me. And I was praying. That's how I tell you, that's why I say we wrestle not against, what's the word of God? We wrestle not against the flesh and blood. Because my husband had gotten so, he was my husband at the time, he had gotten so deceived, the enemy had deceived him so, because they had gave him a little title at the church. And he got caught up in that. You know, he got all caught up in the accolades, and then he was being used by, and I tried to pray and get him up from up out of there. I prayed, I bind in the hand of the enemy, but God is not going to go against your will, because he, at that time, he had already made his decision. That's what he was going to do, and no matter what, God is not going to force you to do nothing you don't want to do. So how I dealt with it, man of God, is I prayed. I got on my knees before the Lord, and when I tell you, when God say he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah. He means that.
What did you deal with the revenge factor, wanting to get even? How did you contend with those things?
Oh, now I'm barely human now. Because that was a moment when we had, after we had dismissed, you know how, after we dismissed for church, everybody fellowship, you know, we congregate, and I was in my car, and I was about to run him over in the street. So, yeah, I had my moments. I'm very human. But how I dealt with that, sir,
I feel you now. You keep it close now. I'm kidding you now. So watch this. But it's good. It's good because you.
But I mean, I did. I had my moments. I didn't come up here talking about I'm human. I'm made of flesh and blood. So I had my moments. But how I dealt with it, sir, was I just thought about everything that Jesus had done for me. You know, and when I would have those moments, even after that incident occurred where I tried to run over, I went before God and I prayed and I repented. And I say, Lord, the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know, so I was out of order. And I had to let God be God. And when I found that anger rising up in me and that bitterness rising up in me, I would just pray and I would give it to God. And I would just picture him on the cross. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I would just picture him on the cross. And I would think about everything he did for me, how he died for me while I was dead in my sins. And I just gave it to God, and he put me through it. And that's why people can talk about church hurt. I can tell you some stories, sir. So I know that God is real. Nobody, after I experienced that, and that was years ago, nobody cannot tell me that God is not real. Because when he left me at the time, I didn't have a job. He was the only one working. And he was so nasty. He took the food out the refrigerator when he decided he was going to do this. I'm not making this up, yo, man of God. This man took the food out the refrigerator. Yes. And when I tell you God just made a way, so when I felt that moment of that revenge, I would just picture Christ on the cross, and I would just pray, and I say, Lord, if you can forgive me, help me to forgive. Sometimes that's all I could pray was, Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to not get in my flesh, you know, because it could have went real left.
How long did it take you to go through that process? How long did it take you to get where you're at now?
Well, I mean, even still now, because now and it's amazing, man of God, because I feel every now, and it's amazing that, because they ended up losing that church, and they ended up getting another church, and somehow or another, I don't move on. I'm in the church that I know God has me up under. I'm under my man of God. I'm active in my ministry at my church, and I know God has me where he wants me to be, but somehow or another, when the God say he'll make your enemies your footstool, somehow or another, I'll run into them, I'll run into members, I'll see them in the streets, you know. And how I still have my moments even now, you know, because I'm human. You know, I when they lost the church, that they, because they lost, everywhere they go, it's like, it's just this spirit that follows them. And the God was like, you can't be like that. Even my ex-husband, you know, I hadn't seen him in years, and I ran into him. And we talked, you know. And he was looking pitiful, you know. And the human part of me and the flesh part of me was like, I told you. But I didn't, you know what I'm saying? So that's still even now. That's why I have to ever go before God, because I'm human. Because the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And all the enemy needs is a little way to get in there. So to answer your question, sir, I have to go before God, and I have to pray and ask God, please, Lord, I don't want that to get into me. I don't want to go back there, because it's easy for me to gloat and get, you know what I'm saying? So I have to constantly pray and go before God.
Sister Campbell, thank you so much. We appreciate you tonight, and you helped us.
You're
so
welcome.
Much. You have a wonderful night.
You're welcome.
What she said was she learned how to pray. And you know, Grandma used to have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about your... I think that at the end of the day, if God is in charge of the church, whenever I have a problem with my dry cleaner, I go to the only dry cleaner. Now, I'm a field man. I'm going to say this comes from field. I don't buy them from any other place other than a major dealership. Not knocking anyone to buy them from boxes. Because if I got a problem, I'm going up in field. And I need to speak to the general manager or the owner because I have a problem. I think that many times with the church, we still think man owns God's church. At the end of the day, when there's a problem with God's church, we need to talk to God. Now, that's no excuse from confronting. Because Scripture says if I have an ought against someone, I'm the goal of them. And so we can never lose sight of confrontation in terms of dealing with and addressing. You heard me. There are many people that need church hurt, and people never knew they were hurting church. Mm-hmm. They never shared with them, you hurt me. People don't even know they got hurt. They left one Sunday, never said a word, nobody ever knew, and ready. When you call them, they said, I'm fine. I'm fine, and you don't know. So I want to encourage you, if you've been hurt by somebody in the church, that you go to your leader, that you go and you address the issue. And then, number one, it's on them to try to make that situation right. But you have to deal with those particular issues. Sometimes what I realize what happens in church is that people get hurt and no one addresses it. Now, it becomes on them if they know it. But if you don't tell them and do not address it, then the burden kind of is on you at that point. Because they're to make it right. The scripture said they're to lay that gift at the altar. They're to make that thing right with you. But if you don't share, and you said, well, Reverend, I did. I talked to them. And they said they didn't see it that way. Then I'm going to share this with you. At that point, you must make a decision to forgive. Some of you that stay in churches that you get destroyed, that ain't God. That's you been conditioned to be abused. And he says that's the Stockholm Syndrome. You've been conditioned to be abused. You need to leave those places. That they may not have what it takes to nurture you and develop you. And their tactics are maybe abusive to you. Now, ready? What's abuse to one person may not be abuse to others. Now, I tell my trainer, you know, I was good with my trainer. I said, he's abusive. He's telling me that I'm just trying to save your life. So I get it. Basic correction and addressment, some people have trouble with that. And that's not necessarily abuse or church hurt. It's just that you don't like to be corrected. But when people destroy your character, make you feel worthless, make you lose value and appreciation for yourself, that's another whole area. Now, tonight, we dealt with a lot of potential issues that people deal with, and I know that we're far over our time. If there were some things that you could say to someone tonight, what would those words be to them? I mean, both of you. I mean, what would you say to someone?
I agree with what you said. If someone hurts you, go and let them know. I think the worst thing that you can do is to sit back and remain in that, you know, season that you're in of just being hurt and not letting individuals know. And if they don't take ownership, like you said, you know, it's the season. It truly is the season that people have to, you know, I go to you, you say nothing happened, and I have to be okay with you don't agree with what I agree, but I have to forgive you regardless because I need to live.
I'm driven to him, but do you understand that unforgiveness hurts you and brings damage to you? And I said this to you. A lot of times it's painful. Now, it's painful because rejection hurt follows the same synaptic pathways in the brain as physical pain. That's why people always want to drink, take alcohol to dull the pain. Take a Tylenol. And I actually, when you're dealing with emotional hurt, a Tylenol will take the pain away. Most people don't really realize that it's the same, an Advil. That pain travels the same neurological pathways, synaptic nerve pathways that other things do. It'll help. I recommend a lot of persons. And then talk to someone and you're able to work through it. And make sure that you take counsel. Now, not where you have not talked to that person, because we're not gossiping. We're not creating a gossip chain where you're talking. But you may need someone to talk to. And don't be afraid. Don't hold anger and unforgiveness inside. So talk to someone, man of God.
I would say that a lot of times, you know, we look for this thing called closure. And a lot of times we're not going to get that in the means or the way that we perceive we need to be okay with what has happened. So I would definitely just encourage and admonish everyone to seek that deeper relationship with God for yourself. Understanding that whatever that person did, that was an individual decision or moment in time, but don't let it have a definitive call over the rest of your life or what God has for you to be as an individual. So whatever you got to do to process the pain or the hurt, I know that's a blanket statement. I mean, I would rather you put your hand through a wall or go exercise or whatever it is to get it out. To get it out at the end of the day, it's going to take Jesus to get you, you know, through that levels of forgiveness and healing that it took us to be okay with. But I would just admonish you to get the help that you need. Rather, that is professional help outside of the church, because I do believe that many of our issues need professional help.
Yeah.
Medication.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some other stuff.
And the truth of the matter is, let me say this to you, that you've got two pastors here, myself is here, and there are tons of people that I can refer to you in the city that you can sit down and talk to. Now, they're not going to counsel other people, members, but they will open the dialogue for you to be able to work through your pain issues. And that's very different. Because we're not having a gossip session about your previous leader,
right.
But we can have an intervention and talking with that person and you working through and coaching you of what you need to basically do to sit down and talk with that leader. But whatever you do, you must deal with these issues. It's been a good show tonight, and let me say this, and Blaze is going to help me close me out, I'm sure. But at the end of the day, let me tell you this. Pain is everywhere. Do not allow what you go through to take you away from the church. People tell me they've been hurt in the church, but you've been hurt in your job. You've experienced things in your job, but you believe there's an economic return. So you go sit up in that job and you deal with what you got to deal with. It's because you believe in the process of return. I wish you that you believe that the kingdom of God has the equal same process, that God is able, faithful, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, that he can bless you, that you'll say, God, I love you and I love what you mean, but I will not walk away from your church because of a hurt. I may have to relocate. I may have to go to another church. I may have to find another assembly. But what I will not do is I will not miss the moment to be among the righteous. For some of you, you need to consider going back to church. Yeah, they lied on you. They said a bunch of stuff to you. They said a lot of things to you. But let me tell you that God didn't do that. And ready? Don't blame the church, the whole body of Christ, on the actions of one person or a few people, 100 people or 1,000 people that was in a church. The church of God is so much bigger than that one church, that one place, that one preacher, that one statement. And listen to me. I don't dismay. Don't feel dismayed. You were hurt. Don't be disillusioned. You were hurt. It did offend you. But God's church didn't hurt you. People that were serving in his church did. And listen to me. God got more servants out in this vineyard that will love you, that embrace you, that there's a better side to this pain. And the only person that can heal you is God. So I recommend that you sit down with a counselor. I open myself up, my services to you. Call my office and tell them, but hey, Bishop, I need to talk to somebody because I got to get past this. And listen to me. Don't stay home. There's nothing like relationship. There's a godly family out there ready to embrace you. Listen to me. My first family, I couldn't choose, but my second family, I could. Many of you got saved in your first family. You just got stuck in it. You didn't choose it. You just kind of got it up. But your second family, you can choose. And your new family in Christ is the family that you'll choose. It's been a great day. I love you so much. I pray for you. For the countless members of you that have joined us all over the nation, we say to you, thank you so much for allowing us to come into your homes, your cell phones, your smart devices, your Roku devices, and all of the kind of things that you allow us to come. You bless the heart to talk to you. Have a blessed day. Have a smile up on your ears, I pray. Stay strong, stay powerful, and know that Christ is a healer. And all things are possible with you to believe. When the devil tells you that you're under his feet, you remind him that the promises of God, though they seem to be over your head, that Satan is under God's feet. And all things are possible to him that believe. You're going to win because you're an overcomer. Have a great day. Thank you so much tonight. It's blessed our hearts. So glad to have each and every one of you. Y'all bless our hearts tonight. Shalom. Peace be unto you. And have a great day.
Go ahead.
You like that one, don't you, Noah? Huh? You like that one, don't you?
What?
Huh?
What?
You just need to go and delete that one off the computer.
What? I will.
Okay. If y'all take a picture of that sweet tooth, okay? Yeah.
They good? You want some other? I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Can you
Reverend Doctor.